God can deliver you.
It's the LifeSpring 1 Year Bible, and podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. It's Psalms Wednesday, and we'll read chapters 122 through 124. We'll also have our last time of prayer until the lovely Lady Leanne and I get back from our vacation in the second week of August. Today, we'll also have an essential segment. We're getting close to wrapping up that series. I'm calling this episode, God Can Deliver You. Before we read, let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Psalms and we thank you for how it teaches us to worship you. I pray today that as we read, you would bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, are you ready to begin? Let's do it.
Psalm 122 is the third of a series of 15 Psalms entitled A Song of Ascents, and this is one of the four that are attributed to David. These songs were sung by those going up to Jerusalem and the temple at various times of the year for the three feasts of the Jewish calendar, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Of this psalm, Charles Spurgeon wrote, David wrote it for the people to sing at the time of their goings up to the holy feasts at Jerusalem. It comes third in the series and appears to be suitable to be sung when the people had entered the gates and their feet stood within the city. Psalms chapter 122. I rejoiced with those who said to me, Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city should be, solidly joined together, where the tribes, Yahweh's tribes, go up to give thanks to the name of Yahweh. This is an ordinance for Israel. There, thrones for judgment are placed, thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you prosper. May there be peace within your walls, prosperity within your fortresses. Because of my brothers and friends, I will say, Peace be with you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. The Songs of Ascent were probably written by more than one person. According to commentator Adam Clark, quote, they have been attributed to David, to Solomon, to Ezra, to Haggai, to Zechariah, and to Malachi, without any positive evidence. Martin Luther wrote of Psalm 123, This psalm, as you see, is but short and therefore a very fit example to show the force of prayer not to consist in many words, but in fervency of spirit. For great and weighty matters may be comprised in a few words if they proceed from the spirit and the unspeakable groanings of the heart, especially when our necessity is such as will not suffer any long prayer. Every prayer is long enough if it be fervent and proceed from a heart that understands the necessity of the saints. Psalms chapter 123. I lift my eyes to you, the one enthroned in heaven. Like a servant's eyes on his master's hand, like a servant girl's eyes on her mistress's hand, so our eyes are on the Lord our God until he shows us favor. Show us favor, Lord, show us favor. For we've had more than enough contempt. We've had more than enough scorn from the arrogant and contempt from the proud.
Psalm 124 is another of the four Psalms of Ascent attributed to David. In this one, David gives thanks to God for his help, past and future.
Psalms chapter 124. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, If the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, then they would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger against us. Then the waters would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept over us. Praise the Lord, who has not let us be ripped apart by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the hunter's nest. The net is torn, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of Yahweh, the Maker of heaven and earth.
I've been a lover of birds since I was 3 years old when my mom gave me a parakeet. When I was in college, my biology professor introduced me to bird watching or birding. So far, I've got 82 different species on my life list of birds that I've personally seen. The latest addition was just a couple of weeks ago. It was a Bullock's Oriole taking a drink from the fountain on my front patio, just in case you're interested. If you're a birder, let me know in the comments on the show notes page. So, with my interest in birds, verses 6 and 7 got my attention. Here they are again. Praise the Lord, who has not let us be ripped apart by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the hunter's net. The net is torn, and we have escaped. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon said about this. As the bird could not get out of the snare, so the soul cannot escape from temptation. But God can bring it out, and He works the rescue. Hear this, ye that are slaves to drunkenness, God can deliver you. You that have fallen into licentiousness, hear it, God can deliver you. Whatever the sin that has trapped you, that gracious hand which once was nailed to the cross can set you free.
You have comments or questions, do let me know. Send me a Boostergram or hang around for other ways to contact me. Tomorrow will be Poetry Thursday, and we'll begin the book of Ecclesiastes with chapters 1 and 2.
Now it's time for the Boostergram
Corner.
Boostergram Corner.
I don't know a thing about crypto.
The lovely Lady Leanne came in with a 500 sat boost, which says, "Hello, my love." Well, hello to you. I just wanted to let you know that I found that very enlightening today on the words for the Trinity and for the One Being. The Hebrew language is always so interesting. Thank you for sharing it with us. I greatly appreciate it. Well, sweetheart, thank you for the Boostergram. I'm glad you enjoyed that little word study. The Bible is just so rich in meaning, and we often miss much of that when we only look at the English. There are some great tools out there to really dig into the Scriptures. And Brother Paul of Seattle sent in a Row of Ducks 2,222 sat boostergram with a prayer request, which we'll get to a little bit later in the show in our prayer segment. But I wanted to acknowledge Paul's boostergram here. Thank you very much, Paul. God bless you. And Sister Denise sent in a 5,000 sat loaves and fishes boostergram on the Psalms 117 through 118, the revolutionary psalm that defied Jewish tradition episode. It says simply, "Praise the Lord." Well, indeed, Sister Denise, praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you.
LifespringMedia.com/support.
This is number 19 in our series on the essentials of the faith. In our last essential segment, we talked about the Holy Spirit. Today, we're going to talk about the fact that Jesus Christ will come again to the earth personally, visibly, and bodily, to consummate history and the eternal plan of God. Beloved, what does the phrase, "the end of the world," conjure up in your mind? Fear? Dread? Destruction? Well, for me, the end of the world speaks of the second coming of Jesus. It's a good thing if you're a believer. But for those who have not accepted Him as their Lord and Savior, it is most decidedly a bad thing. So why do we believe that Jesus is coming back to planet Earth? Simply put, it's because even though He fulfilled a great many of the Old Testament prophecies regarding the Messiah, there are still some yet to be fulfilled. He will complete the fulfillment of all prophecies about the Messiah when He does return. The prophets in the Old Testament didn't know that the Messiah would come to earth twice. For example, Isaiah 7:14 says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And of course, we know that this was how Jesus was born to Mary in the manger, very humble. But then, two chapters later, in Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, we read, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and evermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Well, when Jesus came the first time, He did not establish an earthly kingdom, did He? But it was prophecies like this that caused His disciples to think that that was what His mission was. Zechariah 14:4 says, "On that day His feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives that lies before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west by a very wide valley, so that one half of the mount shall move northward and the other half southward." Well, beloved, obviously this has not yet happened, right? And actually, the different descriptions of the Messiah in the Old Testament led some Jewish scholars
to say that there would be two different messiahs. Well, why do we believe that instead of two messiahs, Jesus, the true and one messiah, will return? Acts 1:11 tells us that on the day that Jesus ascended into heaven, and while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Well, yes, beloved, Jesus is coming back, and we even know the specific place of his return. You heard it just a few moments ago. Zechariah 14:4 says, "On that day his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives that lies before Jerusalem on the east," etc., etc. In Matthew 24:30, Jesus himself said, "Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." And, of course, Jesus often referred to himself as the Son of Man.
Would you like to hear more about what his second coming will be like?
Revelation 19:11 through 16 says this, "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Well, this does not at all sound like the Jesus we typically think of, does it? He sounds terrible, as in one who strikes terror into the hearts of men, doesn't he? Well, that's because one of his missions when he returns is as a judge and conqueror. He will judge the nations, meaning all the people who rebelled against God, those who rejected him and his gift of grace. He will make right all the injustices, all the pain that those allied against him have done. And as I said in the beginning today, for those who have not accepted him as their Lord and Savior, his return is most decidedly a bad thing. But for we who believe, we who have placed our faith in him, we have nothing to fear, because after he has judged them, he will create a new heaven and a new earth, where he reigns in righteousness and in love. There will be no more tears, no sorrow, no heartache. And we will stand before the throne of God and sing praises to his name forever and ever. Is that all we'll do? No. But that's another discussion for another time. I welcome your comments and your questions. Contact information will be, of course, at the end of the show. Next week, we'll complete our essential series with this. The Lord Jesus Christ commanded all believers to proclaim the gospel throughout the world and to disciple men of every nation. Praises and prayer requests. I got a call yesterday from someone I'd never heard from, and when I told her that I was not the person that she was looking for, we began to just have a little conversation. And she said that she was on the way to the hospital because her husband, Edward, has a pressure ulcer on his foot. Now, I didn't know what it was, but she said it was because of diabetes, and then that began to make sense. I have another friend who has diabetes, and he's actually lost a portion of both feet because of pressure ulcers on his feet. And I told her in our conversation that I would pray for him. And his name is Edward, and we're going to pray for Edward today. And Sister Brittany sent in both a praise report and a prayer request. So let's do the praise report first. She said, "Sean, formerly of San Pedro, and I recently moved to Arizona to be closer to family. I was offered a job at a church out here that we really like, and I start on August 1st. Well, Brittany, praise the Lord. That's great. That didn't take long at all, did it? And then she has another praise. She said, "Also, my sister had her third baby, the first girl of all the grandkids. She's beautiful and healthy, and we are so excited and blessed that we were close enough to visit.
Wow, that's so cool, Brittany. Praise the Lord.
And I can say that as the first girl, she'll probably be so very spoiled, especially by the grandparents. I'm sure that they're thrilled too. Give my best to Howie and Ann. And now for the prayer request. Brittany says, my grandma fell about a month and a half ago and broke her femur. Oh my goodness. For those that don't know, the femur is the thigh bone. That's the biggest bone of the body. And I've heard it said that this is the most painful bone to break. I'm so sorry, Brittany. She continues. She's been healing and was released from the rehab facility to my parents' home, and she was doing well, but this past week, she got sick. We're not sure what it is or what it was, but it seems like it's a stomach bug that's going around. It hit her hard, and now she's in the hospital again. Oh, no. She seems to be doing better, Brittany says, but now she's a bit behind in her physical therapy for her hip. We're asking for healing for this stomach issue and for her hip to continue healing so she can walk again. Well, I've got to say that I'm a little bit confused here. Is it the hip or the femur, or is it both? No matter, we'll pray for healing because the Lord knows what's broken, doesn't he? And then I mentioned earlier that Brother Paul of Seattle had a prayer request. Well, here it is. He said, hi, Steve. I got a prayer request. We're probably going to put an offer in on a new house this week. We're praying that God will open the doors and have this house go through if it is his will. We want God to lead us to where we need to be. So if that's at this new place, staying where we are, or something totally different, we are looking for that direction. Enjoy the upcoming vacation, Brother Paul says. Well, thank you, Brother Paul. We are so looking forward to this vacation. It is sorely needed. And making an offer on a new house can be both exciting and scary. So we will for sure pray that he will make clear what his plan is for you. And there's one more praise. Leanne's cousin Candy has been released from the hospital. She's still on oxygen, and they evidently do not have a diagnosis yet, but at least she's home. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, sometimes we feel as weak and helpless as a bird when we face the troubles of our lives. And then we're reminded, as David was, that you are our protector, our shield, our rescuer. You will not let us be ripped apart by the enemy of our soul. Thank you, Lord, for that assurance. Hallelujah. And Father, we pray right now for Edward, who has the pressure ulcer on his foot. Lord, I know that when a person has diabetes, this can be a very serious thing. But for you, it's not. With just a word, you can heal it. Now, Father, we don't know anything about Edward or his relationship with you, so we can only pray that you would heal him according to your will. We pray that you would use this to draw him to yourself. And now we pray for Sean and Brittany. Thank you for sending them to a new church they enjoy and for getting a job for her there. And we pray for this new niece, Father. Thank you that she and Mommy are healthy and happy. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless them. And may this new little girl grow to be a woman of God. Give her mom and the rest of the family wisdom as they raise her. Give them guidance, Father, and grace. And for Paul and his wife, Lord, guide them to the right decision as to whether to buy this new home or stay where they are or some other alternative that you know will be right for them. Have your hand on them, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that Candy is home now. And we pray, Lord, that the doctors will have a diagnosis so that Candy will have answers. Heal her body, we pray, Lord. I thank you now for the LifeSpring family. Bless them, Lord. And we pray that you would be with each of us as we seek your face. Give us a fresh desire to know you and to grow closer to you. And Lord, as Leanne and I take off on this vacation on Thursday night, I pray, Lord, that you would be with us. Father, I pray that you would give us a time of rest and relaxation and refreshment. Be with us, Lord, and we thank you for this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This is our last time of prayer until the lovely Lady Leanne and I return from our vacation the second week of August. But if you have something you'd like to share with the LifeSpring family, go ahead and send it in, and we'll get caught up when I return to this microphone. Contact information is coming right up. Here's how to reach me. Besides sending a boostergram with a modern podcast app, you can call the LifeSpring family hotline at +1-951-732-8511. Or if you've got a comment or a question, go to comment.lifespringmedia.com. Or if you have a praise report or a prayer request, go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. And feel free to email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Again, Brother Scott did today's album art. You've been busy, Brother Scott. Thank you. Thanks also to Sister Denise, Michael Hainer, Jason Pascal, and Sister Brittany for their donations of time and talent. And thank you for spending time with me today, beloved. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.
LifeSpring Media, bringing the message of hope, love, and good news since 2004.